everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Smashy Business Show. It is a new week, new stories for business. Today is September 16th, 2024. It is 10 a.m. My name is Hinal Dah, and I'm here with my co-host Abdul Majid Awan. How are you, Abdul Majid?
I'm good. After a weekend, good.
Always good to sleep in during the weekend.
Yeah.
Abdul Majid was telling me something very interesting that happened this morning. So can you tell us about that?
I was reading about how Saudi is planning to use, planning to basically accept yuan for the oil payments from China. So if they're exporting oil to China, they are happily going to accept yuan and they're open to the idea. a minister, Mr. Bandar Al-Khuraif, Saudi Arabia's Minister of Industry and Mineral Resources, emphasized that kingdom's willingness to embrace new ideas in commerce is here to stay. And recently, the Chinese premier came to Saudi Arabia. He also visited the UAE. Mm-hmm. So he came to the region. China is trying to do business with this region to extend its reach, obviously, in this region. And the region
and they
is
have
also
been here in Dubai, especially for a while. They've been doing business for for decades, probably now.
Decades, and they're one of the biggest markets for the UAE and Saudi for exports and imports. Mm-hmm. So there's a big trade relationship between these two countries, specifically, and then the other countries in the region as well. So it'll be a good move if Saudi Arabia accepts yuan as the form of payment, because then the dependency on dollar that we always talk about will move away, because dollar fluctuations have been a problem for a lot of people, for countries especially who see a lot of fluctuations in dollar exchange rates. So if this happens, it will be one of the historic, like, landmark things that happens.
Because usually people trade in the dollar, so this will mark a shift, a potential shift in global oil trading.
The dollar
dynamics
is the go-to universal currency, because apparently it's considered stable than most other currencies.
Right.
But the exchange rate from dollar to other currencies, that's fluctuating a lot. So moving to local currencies, it's apparently it's a good sign. Economists and experts believe that it will help a lot of countries remove their dependency from away from dollar.
Right.
So let's see if these things happen, and they these things are in talks. We also talked about BRICS Pay, remember?
Yeah, we did.
So so BRICS is also one of, they're coming up with BRICS Pay or BRICS Bridge. The name is not final, but the idea is there that all the BRICS countries, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, apart from that, the UAE, Saudi Arabia, they also became part of BRICS recently. And the October annual event of BRICS, the annual conference, annual exhibition, everything that happens for BRIC in October, that will be chaired by Russia. And the discussions will take place about a unanimous payment system. Mm. So the unanimous payment system will help these countries, which are 10 in number now, deal with each other in their local currencies. Mm. So that is also happening. So a lot of things are changing.
Yeah, so Saudi Arabia not only is doing business with China, but also with the United States.
Yeah.
And this happened last week during the GAIN summit, which occurred in Saudi Arabia. And there were unofficial, but the main topic of the event was actually the U.S. government selling NVIDIA chips to Saudi Arabia, and more specifically, their H200s, which was used for OpenAI's latest version, 4.0. So they're also trying to import chips into the kingdom. So that's another very huge event, because Saudi Arabia is moving to advance their AI landscape. And with the H200 chips, which is one of the strongest out there in the market, it will possibly make that happen. So
the main thing is that Saudi Arabia is, as the minister said, they're trying to keep politics and economics apart. So economic-wise, they're doing trade with everyone.
Everybody
don't care about the complicated relationship between countries. Whoever is ready to and willing to do trade with them, they will do it, because, again, they have to reach the targets of Saudi Vision 2030.
Mm-hmm.
This is like 1 millionth time I have mentioned that again. So everything is related to Saudi Vision 2030. And to reach those targets, to reach the milestones, they have to do trade with everyone. And maybe this helps them create an environment where politics and economics can be separated. It's very difficult to do it in the geopolitical landscape. But maybe Saudi Arabia creates an example where trade is independent of whatever the political policies are there.
Mm-hmm.
Good move by Saudi Arabia.
Yes. Let's move on to our main stories of the day. So Dubai's Fix Chocolate creates exclusive chocolate bar for Sheikh Hamdan. Al Jazeera launches Al Jazeera 360. And Dubai to award contract for $6.8 billion sewage tunnel project. So Fix Chocolate. We've talked about this viral chocolate that is Dubai-based plenty of times on the show. I'm pretty sure you've seen it floating around. It's the famous chocolate bar, which has pistachio inside. It has a bunch of other very unique flavors.
Kunafa and all Kunafa, that.
Kunafa, yes. That, I think that's their best seller.
Yeah.
And they have been praised by the prince, the crown prince of Dubai, Sheikh Hamdan. And they're actually collaborating with him to create a very unique chocolate bar, which features an Emirati
halwa.
Yeah, so it's called halwa, which just means sweet, but is a type of I don't know how to describe it. It's a very distinct flavor in the Emirates. Most people in the UAE know what halwa is, and so it would only be sold to him. So it's like a special, exclusive gift for the prince.
I don't think
prince.
It'll be sold to him. He got it
not
as a
sold,
gift.
It's yeah. a gift, yeah.
Yeah, but he posted a story of Fix Chocolate saying the best.
Mm-hmm.
So this got Fix Chocolate the royal stamp of approval,
right.
In my opinion.
Uh-huh.
And we were talking about it. Fix Chocolate is not an old product now, a new product now. It has become old. Everyone knows about it. Everyone talks about
itself,
it.
Yeah.
Yes, it's established itself. But we were talking about the operational problems they still have.
Yes.
That a lot of people are complaining that you don't get the chocolate whenever you want.
Right. There are very specific timings that you can order it on, and it's only on Deliveroo.
Yeah.
And we're talking about maybe since it's growing. And not only that, they've even been growing outside the United Arab Emirates, even Canada and the United States, but as replicas, not official.
Yeah.
This is a great opportunity for the owner to start expanding the operations and having more people involved and more areas of delivery. So not just delivery, but maybe perhaps a pop-up shop. I think that would honestly do very well to have a pop-up shop, let's say Dubai Mall.
I guess the idea, the USP is that they're handmade and they're freshly made.
Mm-hmm.
They're not stored for a very long time.
Yeah.
They don't have any ingredients to keep them like fresh for a long time, I guess. So it's mainly the idea of handmade and exclusive new flavors that they come up every day. So if they somehow manage to scale it up, they will have to scale up the production as well.
Yes.
Right now, the production is, I guess, a few hundred bars every day. That Sara Hamuda can answer.
Mm-hmm.
If maybe we can get her on the show or someone from Fix Chocolate on the show. But they need to scale up their production. That is when they can scale up their distribution as well. Right now, the distribution is a problem. I saw an ad that Deliveroo will deliver it from 2 to 5 p.m. some days. So they announce a special timings.
Mm-hmm.
So that should not be the case. If you want people to get addicted to it, you need to make it available 24/7 on every petrol station, every stop, every shop where you can find it. So
but again,
most probably they will have a plan, but right now it's not working for them in
this case.
But
again, the production of the chocolate probably takes most of the morning since it's made it's made fresh. And so they kind of just have those few hours. In case it's sold out, it's like, well, we close at 5, come back tomorrow, we'll have a new batch the day after.
I think one of the reasons, it's a marketing trick that I've read about, because I've seen a lot of products in Dubai and in Pakistan also that are very exclusively available through a time and date or on a certain day. So we had this cake in Pakistan. The lady, she started from her kitchen. It's the exactly same story, to be honest. It's a 3-mil cake she makes, a chocolate 3-mil cake, nothing else. She started with that and overnight they became famous. But she had to make small shops, pop-up shops. So, but again, even in those pop-up shops, there's a limited number of cakes that are available. So as soon as they open the shop, people are lining up, they go inside, buy the cake fresh. So every day the cakes are made.
Uh-huh.
So now she started with like 4 or 5 cooks. Now she has a whole army of cooks.
Wow.
So her whole idea is that these are made today for consumption today or maybe for tomorrow. You can obviously put it in a refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
But that is the example that I would want to give to Fix Chocolate so that they can create pop-up shops, say that they're made today, fresh,
close at 5 p.m.
Yeah, but close at 5 p.m. It's impossible to get the cake after 6 p.m. in Pakistan. Mm-hmm. They open up at 10 and they close at 6. So that is one of the examples that I've seen scale up, but keep that exclusive idea of, oh, daily made, right, fresh made. So
I suppose there's something attractive about the idea, like, okay, I can only get it at this time, and like, if somebody comes after me, it's like, oh, look at me, I have the chocolate, and like, you have to wait.
See, it's a marketing tactic. It's very good for starters, but after a while, when, like, for example, you eat it once, twice, thrice, after a while, you'll lose the novelty of the product.
Mm-hmm.
People will stop talking as much about it as they do right now. Then you will need more scaling up in terms of distribution and in terms of creation of the product itself. So they should work on that.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as the product loses novelty, it should be available everywhere then.
Mm-hmm.
So people eat it for nostalgia.
Yeah, not or just for the taste of it, not for
so it should be commonly available. They should do it as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Not right now, but at least take a month or two till the novelty is there and do it as soon as possible.
Yeah. But I mean, they got the stamp of approval from the Crown Prince of Dubai. So
and
there's
it's good.
That.
It's good. People are eating it outside. A lot of people who are moving from Dubai to here and there for visiting purposes even. Everyone says, bring Fix Chocolate.
Yeah.
Before it was perfumes. I remember if I was going from Dubai or Saudi, people would ask me for perfumes or Itr. I guess it's Itr. So now they're saying Fix Chocolate.
Yeah.
So.
Let's move on to our second story of the day. Al Jazeera is launching an Al Jazeera 360 platform, and it's basically an online content streaming platform.
It's like Netflix for Al Jazeera. You can see all their programs on Al Jazeera.
And it's only it's only in Arabic as well. And it's going to feature over 20 exclusive shows and also a vast digital library. So as Majid said, kind of an Arabic Netflix, if you will.
Yeah.
And it's going to debut on, or it did debut on September 15th.
Yesterday.
It filled a gap in Arabic content online because, as we know, or at least, you know, as the average viewer, if I want to watch Arabic content, if I go to Netflix, it's pretty limited. It's not like the English shows on there.
Mm.
It's good that they have a selection of it, but it's not as wide-ranging. So it's good that Al Jazeera is kind of filling the gap in Arabic content online. And also, it's ensuring viewers an access-balanced media aligned with Al Jazeera's core principles and will give viewers a flexibility and convenience with 50,000 hours of archived programming. So whatever archives that Al Jazeera has from their previous
Arabic shows,
you will find it on Al Jazeera 360.
And the most famous Arabic podcast that they had, Arabic show that they had, was Athir. We call it Asir, sorry, in Urdu, but it's Athir, right?
Athir,
what does it mean?
Athir. Well, I'm not the best person to ask.
Asir, I guess it comes from Asir, Atsir.
Is it with a tha?
Yeah, tha.
Oh.
So Athir, I guess it means something that makes, and that has an influence. Asir is like, in Urdu, Athir means to have an impact.
Okay.
So Athir is like making an impact.
Maybe.
But that was their most famous program, which was there on their normal programming. But their Arabic services paused in October 2023 last year. So they have now created a platform for it.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the shows which were like stopped, they will continue programming on that as well. So there will be live shows, a lot of documentaries, series, in-depth analysis, in-depth investigations. You can watch all of that. It's in Arabic, but you will have English subtitles
probably,
over it.
Probably, most probably.
Probably, because you need to cater to a larger audience.
Yeah, I mean, Al Jazeera is pretty famous worldwide, so I believe it'll be a good step to have subtitles.
The problem was that Al Jazeera was facing a lot of shadow bans on social media, apparently, because that is what they say, that they were facing a lot of shadow bans because according to a lot of Westerners, Al Jazeera is used as a propaganda machine from this world. But to be honest, I find their programming very objective.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I have to refer to something, I go to Al Jazeera. That is like my go-to source to see if there is some conflicting thing. I go to Al Jazeera. I go to BBC, obviously, also. So out of like the three or four places where I go to find stuff and confirm if it actually happened, one of them is Al Jazeera. So it has become a big name. So they were facing a lot of shadow bans because of their coverage on the genocide in Gaza. So now this platform will help you to go directly there. You don't need to wait for Al Jazeera's programming to pop up in your feed, because it will not, because of the shadow bans and all the restrictions. But you can go to their platform and see their coverage. So it's a very good step by them. Mm-hmm. They understood that there is a market for their platform and they created a platform.
Yeah.
We also have a platform. We have smashy.tv. You can watch all the sports shows. All the, you can watch UAE basketball. You can watch UAE Super Cups.
Business.
A lot of sports. Yeah, business also. Business you already know because we're on the business show. You're on the business show. We have smashy.tv. You can always log on to it. We have business and sports right now, exclusive rights to a lot of sports events that are happening, that are starting right now. So you can watch that also. Mm-hmm. We have a streaming platform as well. Go there.
Let's move on to our final story, very exciting story. So Dubai is to award a contract for $6.8 billion sewerage tunnel project. And this is set to be launched, the contract is set to be signed by 2025. Yeah. And
the first phase of it, it will be in phases. We've seen throughout the UAE, whenever there is a very big project, they divide it into phases.
Right, so to make it more digestible. Yeah.
And also to, so for example, if you're creating something which takes 10 years, they divide it into parts. So that way, first part can start working. So people get benefit.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to wait 10 years. You can wait 2 years. You'll get some benefit. And eventually phase two opens and you'll get the rest of the benefit.
So it's
a very good thing that I've seen here, especially that they've, whatever project they have, they do it in phases. For example, there's the biggest solar power plant project, Al Maktoum Solar Park. They started that and the first three phases started. The fourth phase, as soon as it starts, it will officially become the world's largest solar power plant. So, yeah, very good idea. Mm-hmm. First phase is going to happen by 2025. The contract will be given.
Yeah, so the Dubai Strategic Sewerage Tunnel Project, also known as DSST project, will aim to upgrade the city's sewage system to a sustainable gravity-fed model that will last a century, 100 years. And Ahmed Al-Sabah, who is an investment and PPP expert at Dubai Municipality, announced that the first phase of the project, in its pre-qualification stage, again, the first stage, the pre-qualification stage, should be awarded by late next year. So by late 2025, we'll expect to see the first phase go through with with this tunnel project.
And the good thing about this is it's a public-private partnership. It's a PPP, which is the short form. So public-private partnership, private people will also invest in it. That's the good part. So they will get the benefits out of it. It's not just that it's a government project. Usually PPPs, the public-private partnerships, are done when government sees that whatever project that they're building can be profitable if there is a chance, because no private firm would want to invest in a project where the government is losing money, but it's doing something good.
Yes.
Usually we see that a lot of government projects, when they happen, even if they're at break even, the government is happy because they're spending money and they're breaking even, so they're fine with it. Mm-hmm. Government doesn't care about profits as long as the people are happy and whatever money they're getting, they're investing. But private companies, obviously, they do business to earn money. So a public-private partnership has government involving private ownerships. So somehow private companies get the benefit, but their money helps make the project a reality. So it's a public-private partnership. we saw in the last rains last year that what happened. And as soon as that happened, Sheikh Hamdan, His Highness, he announced the project that the Dubai sewage system will be built. It's a 60 million dirham project.
80 billion dirham
project. So it will be rolled out in three phases, as I said. The first phase, the contract will be given in 2025. There's a lot of companies which are already present now.
Mm-hmm.
There's an American company which is helping Dubai make the plan, the initial plan. And as soon as the plan is finalized, as you said, it's in the pre-qualification stage. So as soon as the plan is finalized, they'll find a company. The company will then start building the tunnels.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I read somewhere that they're like, you already said gravity fed.
Yes.
So they'll be like this,
uh-huh,
thankfully. So you won't need anything to push them. They create a system which automatically takes the water towards there. So it'll naturally flow through the drainage system and into the wastage area wherever they create that.
Which is great, because from last time the rains occurred, Of course, the UAE government responded very quickly, and we can see
within a week everything disappeared. Everything was back to normal.
But it's good to know that if another heavy rain comes through, hopefully the sewage system will help us all and keep the streets without water.
So in countries which are especially, if you see the globe, it's like a circle. Mm-hmm. So countries which are naturally towards the equator, they can build these kind of sewerage systems. So again, I'll give an example of Pakistan because, again, studied a lot. In Pakistan, we have a system like that because Pakistan is like this. It's a country which goes like this.
On a slope.
Yeah. So from north to south, the good thing is that the water also flows like this because we have mountains in the top region. The water flows, so we get water easily as well till the south. No need to push or dams and anything. So UAE is near to Pakistan. This whole region is connected. So UAE also has a gravity area. So it is easy to build it. It's not that difficult.
Flowing.
Just they've started now because weather is changing. Global warming is a reality. But everyone is experiencing it.
But even then, with this project, they are trying to make it sustainable, which is really great.
And sustainability, see, comes in a lot of ways. It's not just that we talk about, oh, we'll reduce carbon. The good thing is they won't use a lot of electricity in it since gravity fed. So what I've seen in sustainability ideas, people are saying that if you have to use 100 megawatts of energy, obviously you need a whole infrastructure to create it. So what they're doing is they're reducing the number of energy that you have to create to make something work. So if it takes 100 megawatt, they'll bring it down to 50 or 40. So that they save energy. So that is also sustainability. I also read about it and I was surprised. I always thought it was just like solar panels, wind farms, and just you put a wind farm and create energy. But this also comes in sustainability, that you reduce the energy consumption.
Right.
So yes, producer, please switch off the lights. We're using a lot of lights. We need to use it for the show. Yeah. But yeah, you can be sustainable in a lot of ways. There's a lot of startups in Dubai and Abu Dhabi.
It's also about reusing energy and not just letting things go to waste. So with this sewer system, it'll hopefully be there for 100 years. And that's sustainability.
And that's the good part. 100-year plans are always good because they serve for a longer time. And obviously, maintenance and the way government works, they always keep everything very high performing and everything in a very good state. So this will most probably work till 150 years if they take care of it, and everyone in Dubai, everything is taken care of very nicely, thankfully. So this is what we have for you today. We just wanted to highlight a few events that are happening because the season has started. Dubai, Abu Dhabi, the whole region has, we saw a lot of events in the last 2-3 weeks. They were happening, but now the season is here.
Usually September is the month where these events start.
Where every week you have 3, 4, 5, 10 events happening.
So come here to be updated on what's going on.
So there's a Hilly Forum 2024 happening at St. Regis Saadiyat Island Resort in Abu Dhabi. So it's a 2-day interactive and impactful discussion forum where you can forge new perspectives on key geopolitical, geoeconomic, and geotech issues. It's happening today and tomorrow, 16 and 17 September. So you can go to Abu Dhabi at St. Regis Saadiyat Island Resort and enjoy, have a good conversation, enjoy the conversations and get a lot of knowledge. Also meet a lot of stakeholders. That's the main important thing, networking in these events. Then there's the World Utilities Congress. It is one of the biggest events that happens in the UAE. It's happening in Abu Dhabi also. It starts today. Most probably the opening ceremony has happened. And it will go on for 3 days, 16, 17, 18. There's a World Water Forum happening right adjacent to it in ADNIC, Abu Dhabi, Abu Dhabi National Exhibition Center. You can go there as well. A lot of big utilities companies which are government-owned and which are privately
like
owned.
Diva, Seva.
Yeah, Diva, Seva, all of them will be there. So again, if you're related to anything in utilities, you can go there, enjoy. And lastly, Sharjah Investment Forum is happening in 20, in from 18 to 19. So it starts on Wednesday and ends on Thursday. So Sharjah Investment Forum, I was looking at the list of people they have this time as speakers. They post nearly 300 expert speakers, but I saw a few of them and they were very interesting. We did a story on Grant Cardone. He is an American investor. He's done everything. He's the founder of 10X Conference. So basically he says, if you're doing a $600 million business, 10X it. Make it a $600 billion business. So he's there. I saw Mr. Vusi Thembekwayo. He's the group CEO of My Growth Fund Venture Partners. By name, a lot of people don't know him, but a lot of people know him because of his Facebook videos. They go viral. He has a very unorthodox way of telling people how to do sales, how to do business. So go catch him there at Sharjah Investment Forum. And one of another faces which were very recognizable is Mr. Chris Fade. He's the MC and host of a lot of panel sessions and the opening ceremony and everything. So he's also going to be there. So there's a lot of big names that are there. Go to Sharjah Investment Forum, take like 2 hours out and go and see people talk about the future of investment in Sharjah. So these are the things that are happening in your city, in your country, the UA. Also, we talked about the way Sphinx Chocolate has created a special flavor for Sheikh Hamdan, His Highness. Al Jazeera has launched an Al Jazeera 360 platform for Arabic content that was paused in October 2023. And we also talked about the $6.8 billion sewerage tunnel project that is going to start in Dubai, and the first phase of it will start happening in late 2025 next year. That's it for today.
Yes, so if you missed the first half of the show, or if you want to look back at our previous episodes, you can also always find us on all these streaming platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Anghami. You can also find us on X, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. We also have a daily newsletter that comes out every morning, so make sure to check that out if you want more information on what we talk about and even extra information. So thank you so much for joining us on the Smashy Business Show, a Smashy Business production, part of the Augustus Media Podcast Network. We'll see you tomorrow.